This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day as we are off and running here. Big Monday as we're in the final countdown to the draft. Rangers baseball, hockey, and basketball playoffs are going to get underway shortly. And, you know, we just had the Masters as well. So a lot to talk about here. General at your service. At ease. There's Brian Broaddus, former Cowboy Scout, NFL executive. Decked out in his LSU gear, as per usual. Lucius Alexander is in the Pimp Cup at Master Control. Happy Monday to you, sir. You have Eric Chiafalo. Zach Wolchuk is on family duty. Congrats to him. Baby arrived back at the house late last week, and now you have a big, happy Wolchuk family. So send him some love on social. Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. And, guys, there's so many different things to talk about. Let's start with basketball, okay? OKC takes the number one seed, sets the Mavs up to go Clippers, Thunder, Nuggets if they want to make the final. I don't know if they can beat OKC. I watched them twice in recent days. But game one with the Clippers is going to be Sunday at a time to be determined still. But if they can figure out the Clippers, I will have confidence they can figure out the Thunder. So many guys that can attack you and go one-on-one. We've seen the Mavs' defense become better in a team concept. But I don't think there's two other teams that can challenge every single player on the court to defend one-on-one better than the Clippers and Thunder are going to do to you if you get the privilege of playing OKC in the second round. So I'm excited you don't have to face Denver, but man, these matchups, we're going to learn a lot about these Mavs over the next couple, 2-3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, listen, in the West, it's a gauntlet no matter the stretch. I mean, whoever makes it out of the West is going to be a deserved conference champion because All of these teams are very, very solid. There's not going to be any pushover situations here. Unlike in the East, you'll see Boston probably mow through a good chunk of that. Some of those series won't be as competitive. But in the West, it's very, very tight. So I think you ultimately made out the best possible way in terms of avoiding. Like, I'd rather have no home court advantage versus the Clippers here in order to avoid Denver until the Western Conference Finals. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened now. Like, if you would have had home court advantage here in this round versus the Clippers, all of a sudden, here comes Jokic and Murray in round number two defending their title. Yeah. I don't want to see that. I want to kick them down the road as much as possible, and so hopefully somebody else can beat them along the way. But if you see them in the Western Conference Finals, so be it. That's a successful run already, and then you see if you can go toe-to-toe with the champs. But yeah, I'll take this scenario over any of them, and with the way they've handled this, where guys like Luka and Kyrie get the additional rest in league up to what is now basically a week off before they start, I think this is all setting up perfectly.
Yeah, it's terrific, you know, and I don't want to mention this. I know we can get in trouble when we talk about injuries, but Denver has been an injured team between Murray, Gordon, and Porter Jr. Yeah. If you give them another series, that goes seven games, and all of a sudden they're exhausted and they take an injury. I think as a fan, you don't want to root for injuries, but it's fair to acknowledge that the longer Denver plays, the more likely it is they get hurt. And an injury to one of their top four or five players might be what you need in order to be able to beat them in a series, Brian. That's kind of where my head's at.
Yeah, I'm just kind of thinking about this Clippers series coming up, and I think the Mavs are better equipped to play against. We'll see how Lou decides to play his lineup. Does he decide to go small? You know, we always had to deal with it was time with Zubats, and it was like you worried about the offensive rebounds with him, but now you've got guys that are able to. I'm interested to see with Lively. I'm trying my damnedest to find out, you know, how healthy he really is. Everybody's pretty tight-lipped about what's going on there, but and it's just not going to be easy any way you slice it. We talk about avoiding the Nuggets and all that. I mean, heck, there's a side of me that's not happy about playing the Clippers either right now.
Yeah.
You know, and then Oklahoma City, that's just a young team. The thing that would be interesting about Oklahoma City to me is just the lack of experience there. You know, the lack of playoff experience and how will that affect them. And then
history tells you that's a huge factor.
Yeah, and then also the fact that they're the number one seed. You know, that kind of that pressure as well.
For sure.
always affects teams, but the Clippers series, I mean, the Clippers play slow. The Mavericks want to play fast. You know, hopefully there will be some things that really that the Mavericks can take advantage of there with the way that the way that the Mavs currently play as to how the Clippers play now.
Yeah, but that's a real positive, you know, yeah. And that we have this Mavs thing to look forward to and this Stars thing to look forward to. I love it. I think OKC might be a year or two away from being a contender. This kind of reminds me of, you know, when the Mavs faced them in 2011 in the conference finals, and you had a team that the next year beat a hell of a San Antonio team to get to the finals, and they played Miami. You know, so who knows when that Thunder team is going to flip that switch. They are going to be really, really difficult to slow down, though. Both these teams are. I think both teams bring five guys into the rotation that could go off for 40 any night that you're taking them on. Ladies and gentlemen, though, the Astros are now in control of their silver boot destiny. They've taken a one-game lead on the Rangers for the boot. Rangers won Friday. They got out and scored too early on Saturday. I was driving on my way to a basketball game like, let's go. Come out of the basketball game, I think it was 7-2. Yeah. And they got run out of Minute Maid Park from pretty much that point forward. So it's unfortunate. We have CY coming up at 4:20, but you know, I think it is what we thought it was going to be. And, you know, one of my questions is, do you feel like you need to go get a bullpen piece already? And, you know, do you think that's executable at this point in the season?
Yeah, I mean, it's extremely difficult. You know, CY, with what he showed last year, going and getting Chapman as early as he did, he is willing to make that move when he feels it necessary. It's still probably a touch early, but it's a fair question because right now with the status of, I mean, with all the injuries, I mean, my goodness, they can't get out of their own way with some of these injuries here, and so that's hugely disappointing. Bradford, I mean, he's been pitching so good. Yeah, the Sportsy situation's a huge bummer, but I think the injuries are huge right now. Can you weather that? I mean, the good news is when you look at the division, you don't have anybody that's really going on any type of runs here. I mean, you're at 500 and you're still at the top of the division, and everything's still obviously small sample, but these teams are all under 500.
The Angels are right behind you there for back, but what's so disappointing to me, and we go back and look at that series against the A's, you know, to lose 2-3 to them,
it hurts.
It hurts. If you talk about early season hurt, injury number one, and losing 2-3 to the A's, that at home, that to me is one of those like, man, are we about to see something? You know, we're gonna see some struggle here. What's going on? But I think the injury to the pitching staff, and then some of the inconsistencies that you've seen with Leclerc, that you know maybe we saw that coming with Leclerc. But man, some of the offense is not, you know.
That's been the surprise.
The offense at times has been there, and in other times it just has not. And especially gets that A's series. That was really disappointing that they were able not to do more against that bunch.
So yeah, how critical will CY be? How willing is he to assess the team after, you know, just a handful of series? We'll find out coming up at 4:20 right here on your home of the Rangers. 254 says, Gavin, you don't have a hair on your ass if you let CY get out of this interview without talking about the bullpen. For 2 years now, they've treated the bullpen the way the Cowboys treat the free safety position. They don't seem concerned at all that the group of jobbers they have in the pen is costing them wins. Okay, we'll get after it with CY coming up 4:20. Stars in great position to win the West. The final game of the season is Wednesday against the Blues, and they would like have to lose and have Vancouver win both. I think that's the only way that you lose the West. So should be pretty fun, and maybe an opportunity to get some revenge against the Vegas Golden Knights there in round one is the way it's trending, right?
Yeah, it is. And you know, with, again, so much hockey left, I think if you're just a casual fan, though, and I know there's a lot of Stars fans out there, so there's a lot of hockey fans in the city. But if you're a casual fan, and I know it's going to be exhausting to have to deal with the Mavs and deal with the Stars and all that, but this would be a good time to watch some playoff hockey if you're just interested in, because there are a lot of matchups throughout the bracket that are going to be, I would say the majority will probably go seven games, and every night will be a potential overtime goal scored into the second overtime.
Just nail biters.
Yeah, it just the teams are really equal on both sides of the bracket.
A lot of talk about my backside here. I'm pretty sure Gavin has a hairy butt, says the 214. I don't. Not not much hair down there. Okay, another reason why the Rangers...
Is it just your face? Do you think they just look at your face and think that guy's probably maybe. Got a hairy
well, they think
rear
they,
end?
They're calling his face his rear. Is
maybe I'm
doing.
A butt face.
Yeah, that's, yeah. What that's what they're doing right now.
Another reason why the Rangers should have signed Jordan Montgomery, says the 214. Yeah, you remember... You know, right as the season was underway, Ray did that interview, and he basically explained, I'm not spending a bunch of money because it'll cost us on the luxury tax threshold, and then we lose draft picks, and good draft picks. So Ray basically explained on opening day, they're going to look to add players by trading prospects and having the other team eat the salary. You know, I think everybody involved wanted Jordan Montgomery, and it was Ray just making the decision as an organization. We're not going to give up our draft picks. We're going to develop pitching, so please go develop the pitching, and when there's a chance to make trades for arms, then we'll do that maybe later on in the season.
I to be honest with you, I'm not going to sit there and blame the Rangers on this one. I'm going to blame Diamond Sports for not having their S together on the Bally's part of the deal. Yeah. You know, and the Rangers, yeah, they make deals. We all make deals, partnerships and all that. But when you lose out on $100 million, that is going to affect how you do business. You know,
and when you factor in the agent you're dealing with who was setting the bar real high.
It got to a point at the end where maybe the Rangers could have jumped in on some stuff. But, you know, hey, I admire what they've done here. I really do. Do they need the pitching right now? Sure, they do. But Bally Sports has cost them the opportunity to get players and to build their team. And I think that's the thing I'm blaming right now.
Well, and the thing, too, about Montgomery, when you think about all the injuries, like he is a guy that, he's healthy as a horse, it feels like, all the time. Like he's always available. And yeah. So, like, a guy like that, that particular skill set of just being able to show up right now would be huge for the Rangers.
Yeah, especially against the Astros, dude. That was brutal. And
just got to get these bats to come alive again, and it will. It's only a matter of time, but that's the bummer right now, because you would be able to, despite all the pitching situations that you knew you're going to find yourself in to start this season, you would be able to start gaining some ground on a division that is struggling mightily right now. Mm-hmm. If your bats could just get back to being themselves, you know, from a power standpoint especially.
Yeah, a lot of things. Relief, starting, offense not going great, but probably, just a little calm before the storm here, about to start going off. Like, Bankford had a nice little weekend. Okay, congrats are in order to DFW Scotty Scheffler, strutting his stuff. Nobody could catch him at the Augusta. And most players melted down. One of the most dominant months we've seen in golf. I think 3 wins in the last 30 days, Brian.
Yeah, he is. He was a 6-foot putt away from having 4 straight victories on the PGA Tour. He missed that putt. In Houston, or we would see a guy that's kind of having the run of what we saw Tiger Woods back in the day when he won a bunch of tournaments in a row. It's so unusual with how competitive the tour is. I know because of LIV, the split, we've lost some golfers, some very talented golfers along the way. But to have the opportunity to win 4 straight PGA tournaments, I think says a lot about your world number one right now.
Yeah, he's absolutely killing it, man. So it's cool that a DFW guy is dominating the way he is. Speaking of DFW guys, what's cracking with the Cowboys? Voluntary offseason workouts are underway. CeeDee Lamb is not there. Does that surprise you, Brian?
You know what, though? That's, CeeDee looking for that new contract. And so, this is his way of, we saw what Zach Martin did last year with his situation. But he was holding out in training camp and stuff. So, yeah, Cowboys are a little bit of a difficult time right now dealing with these contracts and the way that they're falling. They've got to figure out how to make it all work. And Lamb's trying to say, listen, unless you want to deal with me right now, I'll just pass on these workouts we're having.
Todd Archer has written about it today. We'll talk about that story coming up at 4:00. Michael Lorenzen making his Rangers debut tonight, so that should be fun. The pregame is coming up at 5:00 and the first pitch at about 5:40. We have confirmed Sands is going to join us at 4:40 to give us the very latest. And again, Chris Young at 4:20. So a Rangers afternoon will be underway in just over 2 hours from right now. What else did we have? There was the Eagles story, right? Yeah, a new deal with their receiver Devonnie Smith, 3-year extension that ties the wideout to the team through the 2028 season. Adam Schefter reporting $75 million with 51 guaranteed. That's how you get a deal done early with your guy. Yeah. I guess. I wonder if CeeDee would do that. You know, 375, 51 guaranteed. Not quite sure. They're about as good as each other, right?
I would say CeeDee Lamb really pulled away. This season for CeeDee Lamb brought him into the stratosphere of, okay, you're not only just a number one wide receiver, you're a top five receiver in the sport. Devontae Smith is a fringe wide receiver one, but he's a wide receiver two. A.J. Brown is the guy there offensively. And Devontae Smith, I mean, that's a good deal for him, but I think CeeDee Lamb would probably scoff at it.
Yeah, I think this deal somewhere is going to fall between what we've got with Hill and the Dolphins and then with Adams at the Raiders. I think those numbers, somewhere between that 25, 23, that's really what those contracts are from what I've been told. It's not this.
Well, Devontae just got 25, though.
Yeah, that's well, okay, we'll see how that thing plays out. So, yeah it's going to be, like I say, I think it's going to be somewhere between 23 and 25. I don't know if he's going to make as much as Hill and or as Adams, but I think he'll be in that near that ballpark.
Okay, we got to run, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a great day, and thanks for making us part of it. G-Bag of the Day is coming up at 2:30. We're doing hoops next, Chief. What do you got?
Yeah, let's crank open a rim sesh here and look back on the season that was, all the season stat leaders, and the new shoes, Luka and Wemby. Who's looked better? Next in the nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. We are 7 minutes now from the G-Bag of the Day. We'll get you that best audio coming up in just a second. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate your car today at carsforkids.org. Here's the Chief with that afternooner.
Yeah, sir, let's go ahead and cut the lights out and put the kids to bed. The G-Bag Nation's going all 56 inches around the rim. It's always a special occasion when it is officially postseason time in the association, and your Mavericks get a few days off here. Sunday, they will be tipping off in Los Angeles versus the Clippers, the third episode of the trilogy, and I believe this is the Mavericks' time to take over. Thought this was pretty cool. Most points per game without free throws in 2024. Luka, 27 points per game. Kyrie's third in the sport, 23.5.
Wow.
I love that because you've seen the difference in officiating since the All-Star break and letting them play. And I think that's cool. That only goes up even more really in the postseason. Being a player, and that's the difference between a James Harden and a Luka. You know, one of the differences. He doesn't have to get to the line to affect the game from a point standpoint. He's like, okay, if you're not calling any fouls today, that's fine. Don't put me at the line at all. I'll still give you 27 on average, you know? And Kyrie's the same way. It's like, okay, if we're not getting the calls here, it's fine. We're still good enough to score consistently. And you could go, Luka and Kyrie didn't get to the free throw line at all. And Luka had 27 and Kyrie had 24.
Were you surprised last week when our guests put Kyrie in the top 30 players in the league? Did that seem low to you?
Yes, that absolutely seemed low. I mean, I would say he's right. I think he's a top 10. At worst, you could say he's a top 15 player. There's no way you can get past number 15. But I would say that's a top 10 player for sure, Kyrie.
I mean, I know statistically, like, people are doing more than him. But if I need to bring a guy in to run the team as the point guard, like, I don't know. When you're talking about the top 30 players in the league, you're dealing with guys like Trae Young and where James Harden is now, where Jalen Brunson is now, Jamal Murray, those kind of guys. I think, you know, well inside the top 20, now you're looking at Ja Morant. You're looking at, you know, Paul George. Still not where Kyrie is because his court IQ is so exceptional. His leadership is so exceptional. Understanding how to break down and then just – individually one-on-one, one of the best shooters, one of the best attackers. Like this list I just brought up, USA Today has him 17th, which I guess is better, you know.
Right.
I think he continues to get slighted because of the bumpy road and the way that, you know, his life was perceived there pretty much from the time he won the championship till the time he got to Dallas.
Without Luka, how good of a team is this with Kyrie being that guy?
8 or 9 seed. Yeah, play-in team.
I mean, are they like the Houston Rockets? Are they a 41-41 team? Are they a
somewhere between that?
Are they a Golden State? Are they a Golden State team?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think.
Sacramento?
Yeah, I think you'd be talking about in the neighborhood of 500, but probably a touch more. With the way that Kyrie's actually been able to play, you know, like he hasn't been super injured guy and everything.
Right.
He's played a bunch of games this year.
Off the court, excuse me, hadn't got him distracted and all that. Yeah.
So I still think you'd be talking about a play-in team.
Yeah. That's That's pretty good, would you say? Though, I mean, oh, carry
yeah.
this
yeah,
team.
In and, the West, yeah. especially. Yeah. Like, my goodness.
Yeah.
So, looking forward to some Mavericks action. It's going to be awesome, man. This is going to be a great, great week leading up. But then once the series starts, come Sunday, and it's probably going to be a lot of late nights. I mean, between the Stars and the Mavs postseason-wise, the late nights are going to be there. But for the postseason, let's do it, man. Let's put our bodies on the line. Yep. Hey, Grayson Allen, 4-year, $70 million contract extension with the Suns. Did you know that Allen led the league in three-point percentage this season? Because I didn't.
I did not know that. I knew he was pretty good at it.
46%. So kudos to him and congratulations on that. You have
what was he in
14 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. Boy, you get paid. That's almost $20 million a year to be a role player. What is that, the 7th best player on the team?
Yeah.
Have fun managing the cap.
It's coming off the bench ski.
With role players, you want to get them at mid-level exceptions.
Yeah. Well, hey, here is a couple of things that we need to know. Grade the shoe. We'll start with Luka. Luka and the Jordan brand releasing the Luka 3s. So Carter is throwing that up on the fan cam right now so you can get a little look-see. There's, it looks like there's one other color scheme, kind of like a it's a black shoe but with neon greens and purples and stuff. And then you have this the white shoe with the green and sort of the orange or whatever more tropical look. But I think they look pretty good, man. I mean, gosh, those look awesome.
Not bad.
Yeah, good enough for sure.
Good enough. That's a nice clean shoe right there.
That's a clean shoe.
That's a nice clean shoe. My man said good enough.
Yeah.
He just can't do it. He just can't say, oh, nice.
Okay, well, what do you think about Wimby's?
It looks kind of like Easter themed, though.
Yeah. It's all vacation kicks.
Dude, you're killing it on Easter Sunday with those, by the way. You're walking into church going, oh, my gosh, bro, this is crazy.
I bet they perform Wimby's. Really well.
Okay. Wimby's is, like, super futuristic looking.
The no laces. I like what you're doing here, by the way, with the videos and the webcam. That's crazy. I got to put that thing on to believe it. I don't imagine that staying on or performing.
Yeah, how do you play basketball in that? That thing fly off.
That's going to tear some ankles up,
dude,
right?
These are like AI created.
It looked like they're AI created. Looked like the thing Mort used to sleep in from Mort and Mindy.
Yeah, dude, it was designed by AI. I mean, I don't know exactly what that means.
AI, create a basketball-themed slipper.
AI knows what we want. Yeah, AI is really good at creating what we want.
Lucius was telling us
about
that
alien,
truck, right?
And this looks like an alien. You know what I mean? Okay. Like
it's a UFO?
Yeah.
I don't know, in the dark?
I don't know if it's a UFO, but it just seems like a shoe you might see aliens wearing.
Yeah. I do know it is time now to head into that Pimp Cup where Lucius Alexander has the best audio for the world of sports. It's your G-Bag of the Day.
Yeah. Right? Hey, if people wear Yeezys, they'll definitely wear those right there.
Yeah.
And I'm not mad at the shoe. It's ugly as hell. But it still has some type of appeal to it, in my opinion.
Agreed.
Yeah. And I like AI creative things. Let's create more AI. Yeah, AI know what they're doing.
Let me see. On social this weekend, you posted a picture of a truck.
Yes.
That truck was...
Oh, that was so beautiful, man.
So, but it was created AI.
It's supposed to be a box Chevy, like, but the new vibes on it.
Uh-huh.
You know, say like a 2024 box Chevy.
Wow. It was a pretty truck.
85 model. Oh, my God. It's so pretty. Yeah. Our winner right here is Mr. Chris Arnold, the 2-time Hall of Fame broadcaster, telling us a story about the time, where he was at when O.J. went on this slow, high-speed chase.
Back in the press area of Madison Square Garden, after the chase was about winding up, Robert Kardashian, Kim's dad, and he was representing O.J., he's reading this suicide letter that OJ had written. And we're all standing in the press room. I'm standing next to Ahmad Rashad. And he's going through this letter saying goodbye to people or whatever. And then all of a sudden, he goes, and my good friend Ahmad Rashad. And the whole room looks at Ahmad Rashad. And Ahmad just looks down to the ground. And then he just walks away and got in a limo and just dissed a Pierce, give me a freaking Pierce.
Wow.
He just disappeared. I thought, I'm sounding like LeBron.
Freaking beard.
Freaking beard.
Excuse me.
That'll save it.
Excuse me. It's freaking beard. Excuse me. Excuse
That's
me.
My bad, guys.
Heck, I didn't even say that.
Oh, man, that is so epic.
Hey! R.I.P. Rico Wade, Dungeon Family. That's a big loss right there. Big loss. Ooh, but you'll be here forever, though. All right, next one right here. Mr. Patrick Reed.
Yes.
You guys are watching the Masters?
Pro golfer, man.
You see himself? He was frustrated.
He's very frustrated.
Okay.
Very toxic.
And apparently he hit a lady with a golf ball, too.
He does that quite a bit.
Listen.
You f***ing suck. God, can you make a good golf swing today? Please, miss it. Hit it hard. I don't know where it went.
Watch this next one.
Wait, y'all didn't hear that.
You hit my friend.
At least I hit something. I mean, you hit a farewell day.
You hit my friend Darlene.
Poor Darlene. No.
Sign a glove, hand it to her, she'll be fine.
So that's him S-talking himself.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that going on in golf.
Zach,
I don't know. Like, you don't do that. Like, in basketball, you miss a jump shot, you see these guys S-talking themselves?
Nah, not too much.
It's
you
got to
stay in the game. You got to keep shooting, bro. You got to keep shooting.
Yeah, you're supposed to keep your confidence up.
Can't get lost.
It might be his internal voice replaying his dad's comments from his childhood.
Yeah. He's getting nostalgic on himself.
Yeah. Bro, what were you getting ready to say there about Mr. Zach Johnson?
Zach Johnson happened to, like, he missed a putt, like, three-putted a green, and fans were kind of cheering for it, and he evidently dropped an F-bomb, and then afterwards he, like, denied it, like, oh, I would never do that. I respect the patrons here. What are you talking about? Kind of thing. He did. He completely. He was telling the patrons, excuse me, to F off is what he was doing.
Thank you for that, Bronis.
Yeah.
So that tap in for triple bogey at the 12th.
Yeah, he said it, bro.
He did.
Triple bogey.
What is he thinking? I didn't say that.
They confronted him afterwards in the media availability, and he goes, oh, what are you? He's like surprised that somebody asked him that. He's like, no, I would never. What are you talking about?
Me?
Yeah. And I'm like, bro, come on. You dropped an F-bomb on the Patriots there. Don't worry about it.
Wild boy. Yeah. You a wild boy. Oh! All right, yesterday was a church day. I hope you got your blessing. Shout out to my pastor, Pastor Freddie, Dr. Pastor Freddie Haynes, excuse me, and Reverend Ike. He's no longer with us. He's with God now. I got a follow from Dr. Pastor Freddie Haynes this weekend.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, well, look like it's just a fake account.
Oh, no.
Hate when that happens.
Yeah, kind of like that Tracy Morgan on that commercial we play. The Febreze commercial?
Yes.
Who's that Tracy Morgan, dog? I don't think that's Tracy Morgan. Yeah, but anyway, let's go to the Battle of the Bands right here, Mr. Broadus.
Yes.
Which church band is more awesome? We have a keyboard player.
No.
That was just on point. Listen
on
to
point.
This.
All right, here we go.
I didn't come to know Jesus until I was 15. But the reason why I share that story with you is because I was at a McDonald's. Oop. And tonight's sermon was on the feeding of the 5,000. It hit me today. I wonder if there was a mama that kept speaking to her son. One day, God's going to greatly use you. And every day, he go off to school with his little Hebrew Happy Meal.
There we go.
Got him.
Got him. That's awesome. I'm loving it.
Let's go, guys. Wow.
That's good.
Yeah, that was good.
Usually our organists or piano players, they're not paying attention, right?
You got to be. You got to be paying attention to that pastor at all times.
You got to be paying attention. Yeah,
you don't want to get right there.
You don't want to get yelled at by the pastor for going the wrong direction.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I've got those clips too.
Yeah, you do. You do.
And we have another pastor right here. He says it's the brains, not the booty, you should be focusing on.
Oh, wow. All right.
But the organ player was on point the whole time. It's crazy.
You like it. You like it because it looked good. You like it. Pow, 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 pow. She got it going on. You like that. Y'all better stop liking butts and booties and start getting in people's brains. That booty ain't real anyway. It's...
Look at the organ player. That's my cue. Did someone say booty?
It's perpetration. It's pretend. It's plastic. It's fluid.
He He is wilding. First of all, he is wilding. But he is 100% correct. Yeah. It is plastic. It is fluids. Even some of our favorite rappers might have a nose job. I know he had the fake abs, but he might have a nose job.
Okay, so you already knew about the abs.
Yeah, knew about the abs. Knowing about the abs. But hey, man, this
dude. So you put the plastic plate under the skin over the fat? You have perma abs?
I don't know what they do, but they draw abs on your belly. Then you have to keep working out to keep them.
Little Photoshop.
Or you're going to have to put on these big old uniforms during your during your concerts to hide that you haven't been working out properly.
Yeah, you can't be sitting there 15, 18% body fat. Repping the six pack. You know what I'm saying? You gotta be lean everywhere. If you got the six pack, then you probably got pretty much everything, at least waist up. So you can't be flabby, and then all of a sudden here's the outline of the six pack.
It looks weird.
Yeah. Blow your cover. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But Drake is battle tested. Say what you want to about it. That boy is battle tested.
Thought he had a great response.
Battle tested, bro.
Good at overcoming.
Say what you want. Verse all 20 of you. Where you at?
Man.
All right, man. That's it.
Okay, is it the champ CA? Is it Patrick Reed and Zach Johnson getting toxic over there at the Masters, cussing at people and stuff, and each other, or in themselves? Is it the keyboard player or the preacher? You got, what do we got, a church combo platter, a Masters combo platter, or the champ? Is that how we're going to do it?
Yes, sir.
Does that work? Okay. I'm voting for the champ CA, Chief. How about you?
Same.
Losers?
Judge, preach, tabernacle.
2-1, Brian.
Vote for some golf.
By a score of 2-1-1, and still your G-Bag of the Day champion. It's Chris Arnold from, the Get Right Weekend Shows here, 105 through the Fan Hall of Fame, legendary broadcaster here in the G-Bag Nation for several years as well. Okay, the corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Brian, where are you taking us next?
Yeah, did I get my money from some kids in Austin? And I also have a mock draft I want to talk to you about. We'll do those next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. The corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's your king of the crusties, Brian Broaddus.
Thank you very much, Sean. Appreciate that. Before I get going here, a couple things. I want to say, I give a shout-out to my guys. Some really good Tolos at the Discount Tire Place over there in Plano.
Salute.
Or Park. My guy Preston over there taking care of everybody there. Some of the nicest people in the world over there at that Discount Tire. Man, I know nothing about fixing anything or doing anything, but.
Clearly.
Man, they clearly.
Obviously.
They do. He does a hell of a job over there. So thank you for all what those, and thank you for listening to us. Another thing, too, is we've got the Draft 101. We're full up on that. Thanks to everybody for being a part of that. That's going to come out there for that, sponsored by Miller Lite as well. And we're going to stream that on our website. So if you don't get the chance to show up, please feel free to listen as we do that. So it'll be the crew that is going to cover the draft for you, the Dallas Cowboys guys and our guys here at the station. So it should be a lot of fun to talk about. We've got that coming up. And then Wednesday, real quick. We got National Crawfish Day.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Hello. So
we're celebrating.
Yeah.
At Shell Shack.
Shell Shack. Looking forward to that. Over off Henderson, right?
That's right. Where we're just at. A few minutes here from the station.
So, yeah. So, come on out and enjoy some crawfish on National Crawfish Day.
Shell, yeah.
And we'll give it a go. Should have some fun. So, busy week for all of us here. And as we're going, got back from Austin yesterday. Well, actually, Saturday night. It was late Saturday night. And you guys probably wondering, did I collect my money?
Yes,
from all those
you had won that NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
And don't we need to congratulate you as well for winning the Masters? Didn't you win the Masters deal here for the company? So look at you just cleaning up right now.
I did.
Knower of all sports, Brian Broaddus.
I actually had the first place, second place, and sixth place golfers on my list.
Jeez.
So yeah,
how'd you have
you
the dominated
speed?
Me. How'd you know this? Was he Swedish?
Yes. Yeah.
Auberg. There it is.
Auberg.
Yeah, I kept calling him Ogden all
that's
weekend.
Okay. It's funny when I take a real, I can't play golf worth a damn anymore, but I like to watch it. And now because I have, I have some Saudi ties too, interested in what goes on with Liv and things like that. So golf in general, I've just got a kind of an idea of, but the Masters, there's some things you could tell going into the Masters, how guys are playing with trends, And so you could kind of read some things. But, yeah, it worked out for me pretty good this weekend.
You just got in your golf lab and pulled up your golf analytics.
I did. Won the thing by
crunched some numbers.
One stroke. Xander Schauffele with his I was so worried. He bogeyed that last hole, and I won the pot by one stroke.
So you get $300 to specs, dude?
Yeah, and I'm thinking about going
with this new drinking habit of yours.
I'm thinking about going Mardi Gras Brian, just like the next time, just go out and just load up with $300 worth of alcohol.
Cheers to savings.
Next time that we're out, just I have everything ready to go.
You'll have us covered for what you drink and what you think in perpetuity.
That's what I'm saying. So
I won one of those bad boys one year, and I cleaned out their NA section.
Did you?
I
really
had like the greatest NA sampling of all time.
Yeah.
Fridge was packed. Found some great ones.
Shout out to whatever it was you had back there the other day, Lucius. That was incredible, dude. That with that little margarita in a can.
Yeah. 12.50. Really? Alcohol or something like that by volume.
Do I need to get a case of those for you, Lucius, there?
Dude, I can do that. They were solid.
Give me the name of the Lucius. I'll grab you some with this card. But, yeah, supposedly I was learning, too, with me and my charcuterie boards, what a high-end dude I am.
Coochie board.
Yeah, I got my they got a lot of things that I could go, so I can do some damage with some alcohol and make my charcuterie board with that. Have some fun.
Nice.
Have some fun. Getting back to Austin. I confronted every one of those kids, by the way.
Good. Did you? You went toe-to-toe. Their mommy and daddies were there with them. Yeah. So did mom and dad just pull out the wallet?
I confronted them as a group. And, like, you know, we were all kind of hanging around. And they were like, oh, Mr. Broadus, we love listening and all that. Once again, a bunch of Tolos down there in Austin that listened to our program. Got cornered by the dads. The dads are also Tolos. Got cornered by them.
Wanting to give you their cowboy takes.
Cowboy takes. Moms are off doing something else. Dads were standing around asking millions of draft questions.
A little draft 101 preview.
A lot of draft 101 preview. And then, you know, and you're like, oh, well, yeah, this and that. You know, you're trying to kind of, well, these are the names, I think, you know. So it was, but it was fun. It was fun.
Heck yeah, it was.
So I confronted these kids.
Yeah.
You know.
You put the money in.
I did.
You clearly have money every weekend to go to bars, to throw parties, to get the designer shoes and the T-shirt, and the $200 jeans, but you don't have $10 for the pool that you committed to?
I will say this, though.
What happened to honor?
There was no honor. But, well, that's
I see how those frat kids dress.
That's what they told me, though. Mr. Broadus,
we're broke.
It's an honor that you won our pool. That's what they're trying to tell me. And I'm like, okay, but I paid. And they all kind of like looked at each other and like,
well,
yeah.
We didn't.
Yeah, thanks.
But they wanted to blame Bennett. They wanted to blame Bennett. Because Bennett is the treasurer of the fraternity.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's the treasurer of this fraternity.
He's not really running a tight ship over there, is he?
Yeah, and I'm like.
He said, I'm not in it.
So I'm looking at him like, so wait a minute, you're the one supposed to. And he's like, well, Dad, you know how it goes. And
do you think he was like, don't worry about paying, guys. It's just my dad.
Yeah,
I think
guys, it looks like Pops is going to win here. So you can go ahead and spend that 10.
I think there was a level of that. I think my dad's a good dude, and like
he's not going to worry about the money. Yeah,
you know he's not going to. He's you know, but these kids
watch
were,
this. I'll ask him for another 200 right now.
This one kid goes, Mr. Bross, it's really nice to meet you. He goes, I heard rumor that you were going to bring a bat down here and take our knees out. Like he was listening to the broadcast.
I was advocating for that. Yeah.
So, but anyway, no, I did not get my money.
How many kneecaps did you take?
I didn't take any kneecaps.
Just a couple of pinkies.
But those kids were like they couldn't even look at me in the eye.
Of course not.
They couldn't. I mean, like here they let a 60-year-old man take him down in the basketball pool.
Amazing
kind of a thing. So anyway, but no, I didn't get my money. It was nice to be with all those kids. I know some of them are listening right now. You guys are great, and I really enjoyed hanging out with you. All right. In my last couple of minutes here, I did talk about a mock draft. And this is coming from our, I guess it's your friends, because it's not my friends. They hate me. Pro Football Focus?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I like those guys.
Yeah, they hate me.
Thanks for the info.
Yeah. And
I love taking them with a grain of salt.
You could totally tell they hated you, too, when we
interviewed
them.
Do you think Sam Monson hates me the most?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. This is a mock draft from Sam Monson, I think he's the editor of this thing, or maybe he's the founder. I don't know. He's one of the top guys.
Are you bringing this to the table just to dump on it?
Is he the baseball guy with the hair?
No, that's Palazzo.
Yeah.
But Munson's the short, bald.
Yeah, but he hates me.
He's more bitter.
I think he's Austrian.
He's way bitter. All right. Well, he does a 2-round mock draft. And for the Cowboys, I want to throw this out there and tell me what you think. By the way, like Jackson Powers Johnson, the center, is gone to the Seahawks at 16. And so, you know, you lose the center there.
Sounds like Munson didn't catch wind about the fact that JPJ is dealing with some health concerns.
Exactly. Graham Barton, it goes to the Dolphins at 21. So both centers are gone off this board. And so I'm like, okay, cool. Munson puts A.D. Mitchell, Adonai Mitchell, that wide receiver from Texas. He picks him at 24. Would you think that people would lose their minds if Dallas took a wide receiver at 24?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think they could see, hey, if that's the best thing available and Gallup is gone, Tolbert's a bust, and Cooks is 1 year from retirement, yeah, you need a third guy who can play now, and you need a second guy for 2025. So I'd be okay with that if he's significantly better. I trust him with wide receivers. I kind of like it.
The thing that they – what's interesting, he had – J.C. Latham from Alabama, the tackle, going afterwards. He had Zach Frazier, the center, going afterwards. We talked about him quite a bit. He had offensive linemen that were going after. Tyler Guyton went after this particular pick. I don't know if particularly with all those guys on the board that fans would be okay with them picking a wide receiver.
Passing up a bunch of...
He's a good receiver. Don't get me wrong.
I hear some people that say he's closer to those top three guys that everybody talks about than like a second rounder. You know, like he's actually really, really impressive. So I think you're getting a good player, but you've set yourself up for the offensive line needs so heavily that I don't know if you have the luxury of making that pick right now.
See, that's what I was thinking with Dawson. If you always tell me, and I think rightfully so, fix this damn offensive line.
Yes, but we know this team knows offensive linemen, so if they pass on those dudes, I would be more inclined to think they knew these guys can't play.
Okay.
That's a good point.
Then that will work for you there. Okay, at 56, he has the Cowboys taking the running back Jonathan Brooks. That seems to be a consensus pick for everybody. Every time anybody does a mock draft, it seems like Jonathan Brooks, the injured, coming back from injury, University of Texas running back, his logic here is Dallas gets the top back in the draft to fill its knees. Brooks is working back from a knee injury, but could be ready to roll 100% by week one.
Cowboys doctors did the surgery.
Yeah, exactly.
There's love taking risks in the second round.
I just don't see them, and I think with this whole thing, I just don't see him taking a wide receiver at 24. Yeah. I just don't. With everything else, it's going to have to be offensive line, and if they go another direction – in my view, I think it's going to be somebody on either the defensive line or that linebacker. I don't think it's going to be a wide receiver they're taking. Bobby and I did a podcast here with Love of the Star. The last thing is we gave you six names that we think are going to be there. If you haven't listened to Love of the Star, go back and check that out. Bobby and I kind of mapped that out for you there.
I love it. Thank you, guys. Brian.
Thank you.
The Corner is brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. NFL news of the day is next, Chief. What do we got?
New unis, new contracts, and has Broadus ever seen a player built like this? Next here in the nation.